Thank you very much for being here this morning, and I trust that you've come with a prayerful heart that the Lord would bless our services here. I always enjoy the song service and the worship that we give God in song. I'm reminded of, this is not my text, but in Colossians 3:16, it tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Lord has been listening to your singing this morning. It's a form of praise that goes to the Lord. And it says that the singing and with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I just love the good spiritual singing that we have at this place. Well, we are in what I'd say is uncharted territories. I've been around a long time, and several of us here has a good many years on you younger people, but we have not had an occurrence just like we have now in our country. And so we do not know exactly how to respond. And so anyway, we will all plod on. We're confident that the Lord is on the throne today in heaven, that God is knows what's going on in the United States and all over the world. He's aware of it. He has done whatsoever He pleased in heaven and earth and in the seas and all deep places. The Scripture says us that He has done whatsoever He pleased. We know that the Lord's on the throne, and so today we look at Him. But this is a day that the leadership of our nation has suggested a National Day of Prayer. And this is a National Day of Prayer. And, of course, I believe that really that ought to be our everyday National Day of Prayer. The Apostle Paul used the expression, praying always. We are always to be in prayer. And there's so many different terms and forms of prayer. And so we're going to look today whenever the disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked Him, said, teach us to pray. We do not necessarily, we wonder, well, this is a national day of prayer, so how do I do it, or what do we do? Well, I think it's fairly simple that the Scriptures teach us. They've got a lot of different ways. There's not one particular way that you have to pray. You don't have to be on your back, on your knees, on your head, any other way. There's a lot of different examples in the Scripture of people who prayed in a lot of different ways, positions, and situations. And so the situation that we have today, we are certainly praying that we would be able, by being diligent, to not pass around the bug that's going around, and maybe we could avoid the virus. But even if we did not avoid the virus, coronavirus is the correct name of it, 19, I believe, is the strand. But the people who do have contacted the virus, 99% of them have, just like we're used to, they get on over it and so forth and so on. And so I'm thankful that we could take that position also. But in the book of Luke, the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, we're going to look at whenever they asked the Lord to help them pray. It came to pass, first verse, it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, growing up and learning and listening and so forth, if I was going to use the prayer or example that our Lord gave, I always used Matthew, the 6th chapter. Well, they're basically the same thing, but this is not the same thing. It's a different place. It's a different circumstance. It was a different set of disciples and so forth. So it's not the same as Matthew 6, even though some of the same words. This prayer, after this manner, therefore pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth it is in heaven. The prayers say many of the same things, but they are not identical, and they were for different people at a different time and a different place. So these disciples said, Lord, John taught his disciples how to pray, and we'd like for you to teach us how to pray. And the Lord, and John also taught his disciples, and he said unto them, the Lord said unto them, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. See, it reads a little different probably than maybe what you might have learned like I did over in Matthew. This one over in Matthew, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Over here, he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Well, that's good. Both of them are good. Give us this day our daily bread. But the Lord himself quoted, he's the one that said over in Matthew 6, and now he said here, give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? He said, if you have a friend, and that friend come to you at some time in the middle of the night, and you're dead asleep, and the friend knocks on the door and says, hey, Vernish, get up. I need some help. I just got word that some people are coming to my house, and I don't have anything for them to eat, and I need 3 loaves of bread. And he gave the example let's go to the 5th verse. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is not shut. The door is now shut, and my children are all with me in bed, and I cannot rise up and give thee. He said, don't bother me. We've all gone to bed. You know, I get these phone calls sometime after 9 o'clock at night, which they're not supposed to call you, you know, solicitations. I answer them every time I can, just so I can tell them, now look, we're going to bed around here. Of course, I could tell them that around 8 o'clock instead of 9, but we're going to bed around here. Do not... You shouldn't be calling over here. Well, he said, if this person comes to you and this man gets up and said, I'm going to bed. I cannot rise. I remember one night, it's been a long time ago, my mother and daddy and my mother's sister was with us because my mother's sister was going to ride to Chicago or someplace on the train that was coming through, came through Longview and Mineola. It didn't come through Tyler. I forget the name of that train. And she had to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so my daddy and I got up, I guess at midnight or sometime. We drove Aunt Minnelly over to the train in Longview. And just as we let her out and we started back, it was about 2:30 in the morning, my car, the water pump blew up or something. It was a new car, but it had real trouble, and there was no place to go. I just made it off of the road and went pulled right up to the Rio Palm Mall. It was the biggest honky-tonk in Texas, the Rio Palm Mall in Longview at that time. But they had a payphone on the outside, and so I get out and get the payphone, and I call my friend. I never will forget. I called him. I said, what you doing? He said, oh, I was out mowing the yard. he got that quick. He called. He said, I was out mowing the yard. Of course, he was crazy. Why are you calling me at 2:30 in the morning? Anyway, I called him at 2:30 in the morning, and he drove to Longview and picked my daddy and I up and so forth, and all ended well. But this man didn't want to do that. He had a friend that knocked on his door and told him, I need some bread because I've got company and I don't have any bread. I need 3 loaves. And a guy said, oh, I just can't do it. We've already gone to bed. For a friend of mine, and 7th verse, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, my children with me in bed, and I cannot forgive them. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. That's what my friend did. I needed a ride, and he gave it to me. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, if you study these scriptures, and you think you do not know how to pray, well, he's told us here that the one who asks, it'll be given to him. He tells that the one that seeks, it'll be given to him. And the one who knocks, it'll be given to him. Now, I do not believe that this is a degree that you first, it could be, but these are separate entries. You seek, you ask, you seek, and you knock. Sometimes the prayer is answered whenever you ask. Sometimes you seek harder. You seek and you seek the Lord. And then sometimes you're just knocking on the door trying that. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give bread, gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So he's saying, if a friend at least knows what to give, so forth, you can imagine what the heavenly Father, who cares for his children too. So he's encouraging us here that we ask. We know that Paul said that we pray in all ways, that we ask. I think that we here all over America, most Christian people are being mindful enough to pray today and yesterday and tomorrow and next week and all time. Pray that this situation in which we're in with this coronavirus, that it will be alleviated some type of way before too long. And of course, I'm believing that it will be. I'm confident it will be. And so we find that the scriptures tell us in Isaiah 59 that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it can't save. We do believe very confidently that the Lord's hand's not shortened. The Lord can stop the virus. He can let the virus play out. We do not know the design of God, but we know that his hand's not shortened. He can do whatever it is that he would like to do. And so as we look at that, and we look at how that this prayer, whenever you pray, give us now. Of course, I've said many times, I believe the Lord gave us an example here of how to pray. And so how that we pray, and I believe the attitude of prayer, not the position, but the attitude or the circumstances of prayer make a lot of difference. So, here we have that, he said something, in my mind I thought, well, how am I, it says that he that asks, that he will, he that asks, it should be given him. I've asked a lot of things that I didn't get. Of course, the scriptures also tell us in James or Peter that we can ask amiss. We can ask amiss, and God's not granting that. You can, you know, why'd you get up and say, "Oh Lord, I want a new pink Cadillac this Monday"? Well, you're asking amiss. But if you come to the Lord in sincerity and so forth, that the Lord would grant. Well, I began to figure out even that. How do I know? How does the Lord fulfill all those that ask? And I believe it comes down to, and I'm just going to give you my opinion, because I wouldn't wrestle you over this, but I believe that you'll find out that when you ask, he says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened." It shall be opened? We love those shalls in the Bible. But listen, what he said at the beginning of that example that he gave us, and he used it in Matthew 6, and he used it again here in this one. He says something very strategic, I think, up there. And he said unto them, "When we pray, say, O Father," this is the second verse, 11th chapter of Luke. "And we said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Well, you know, I think that's so very important, because whenever I pray, and I trust whenever you pray, that you say, "Lord, this needs to change, it needs to this way, we've got to have this," and so forth, or, "Lord, we need this so bad." But I preface that by saying, "If it be thy will, if it be thy will." Well, if he does not grant it, my prayer was answered, because it wasn't his will. And he said, "If it be done," he said, "thy will be done." All the old timers says, "Oh yeah, we'll see you next week if the Lord's willing. The Lord's willing, I'll see you Monday." It's to the will of God. And so whenever we pray, and we're not only praying for this circumstance or whatever it is, we're still praying from the will of God. We're not wanting to go against the will of God. In fact, we are not able to. God is stronger than we are, and so we do not able to do outside the will of God. So whenever we say, "If it's according to thy will," the old timers use that all the time. "If it's according to thy will that thou would bless us with this new job or this promotion or this," and so forth. So if you didn't get the job and you prayed it was according to God's will, he answered that prayer. Amen. He answered that prayer. That's the way that's fulfilled. He that knocketh, he that asketh, he that seeketh, he fulfilled that because you ask it according to his will. There's certain things that I wanted to happen so bad. You know, you have problems that come up sometimes in your life or in your church or somewhere. And oh my, I wish it was not like this. But you have to realize, and people will come by and say, "Well, the Lord loves peacemaker and I want to be a peacemaker." Well, now hold it just a second. The Lord might not always want peace. According to his will, he has certain things that he brings to pass. And so we have to realize that whenever we pray, that we pray according to God's will. I think that's very important. He says, "Thy will be done," in both here and in Matthew 6. It's important that we address him as our hallowed be thy name. He's on the throne. He's God. But the things that we ask according to his will, that he would grant those things. And so, therefore, I see these prayers are fulfilled. You know, there's a prayer, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. If you go back over to First Chronicles, it's way back over there towards the first of the book somewhere, after Samuel. You go to First Chronicles and you find a prayer there that's rather short. And the person who prayed the prayer, we know very little about. There's nothing else said about this person in the Bible. His name's used three times in the Bible, and it's in 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. Three times it's used. We know nothing else about him. But for the divine intervention of the Spirit has given us this, that we might know that what happened. Here's a man that prayed to God, and I've known a lot of people who, whenever they pray from A to Z, or they go back before the foundation of the world, and time they get through. I know other people who pray. I hear one pray another day. He was informing God. Oh, you know, God, we want you to bless us because, you know this book is full of instruction and it's full of doctrine. Yeah, God knows all that all right. You didn't have to tell him. But in the prayer, and they go from A to Z. Well, this man, you know, this ought to be preached on it or thought about it or done anything much about it, but this man, Jabez, but there's a man around the turn of the century that wrote a book about Jabez's prayer. Well, now you can find all kind of sermons on Jabez's prayer. And so I'm going to pray the prayer that Jabez prayed. Well, that was Jabez's prayer. And so, but we'll look at it just a minute. He was given the lineage of all these people, who begat who and who begat who and who begat who. I saw this morning on a sign that said that prayer begets, it says, this certain type, super prayer, it wasn't super, it begets super miracles. That's the super one there or something. But man, if we do it in the right way, great miracles come about. Well, we're going to look at some people here who's prayed in so many different ways. So if you've got a way you think it's got to be, and it's got to be like this, and so forth and so on. I heard a preacher friend of mine one time, he stood like I am now, and he offered prayer, and one of the deacons come up to him after the church, it was back in another state, and said, "Are you too proud to bow your knee?" In other words, we believe in bowing our knee. Get on your knees when you're going to pray. Well, we got so many examples in the Bible. They wasn't on their knees. They was hanging on the cross and everything else, and they wasn't on their knees when they were praying. There's too many examples. There's not one certain way. But I believe they are a certain attitude, and that attitude we just went over, that according to thy will, that we have that submissive attitude. Well, Jabez came from a long line of brothers and other people. In the 1 Chronicles 4:9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "I bear him with sorrow." When he was born, his mother had a lot of pain. She had a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. And so she just named him Jabez because that word Jabez meant with pain. So she named him Jabez. That's what it meant. Brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Now, the first thing it said, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. There was something special about Jabez. The 10th verse, and Jabez called on God of Israel. Now this is all we know about this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Bless me indeed. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. And enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. That's all we know. There was his full prayer, and there was the full answer. God granted him what he wanted to know. But if you study Jabez, you find what Jabez was wanting. He wanted to have thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Give me a better opportunity to be able to serve thee and to give thee glory and so forth. That there's been a lot of good men that, and women who have tried to serve the Lord, but their opportunity was not the same as other people's. He wanted the opportunity that God would give him to enlarge his coast, his place of responsibility, his place of influence, that he might be, that might be done. And every child of God ought to want, but they do not all. They're satisfied right where they are. Don't enlarge my coast. I'm doing all I can do. But this man asked that the Lord enlarge his coast, and that thy hand might be with me. Do not just do that, but lead me, that your hand would be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Well, that prayer was actually, you say, well, that was a selfish prayer. It was, but it was in order, if you study it, is in order that his coast might be enlarged, that he might have more opportunity to serve the Lord and so forth. And you find the same thing when Solomon, asked this prayer. He's going to take over. His father David is dead. And Solomon said, well, I'm just a young man. I can't do this in 1 Kings 3 and 7. And he said that him a young man. How do I go out and come in? How do I know? Here, I don't know how to go out and come in. There's sometimes responsibilities come up on people as Solomon had here, had this great responsibility. And you know what he prayed for? The wisdom to know how to go out and how to come in. He needed to know how to be amongst God's people. And God, again, he didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for riches. He asked that I might be able, the same I believe as Jabez did, he asked that he expand his coast. And here, Solomon asked that I might know how to come in and how to go out amongst God's people. I'm just a young man, he said. And so he prayed that, and God, as we know, answered that prayer. So there's a lot of type prayers you might, and so God, in fact, said, I'm going to grant you what you asked for because you did not ask for the wisdom and all the other things that you, I mean, you didn't ask for riches and wealth of all the other things that you could have asked for. So we find the circumstances are so different sometimes in whenever we are praying. We find one time there was three, we call them Hebrew children. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Hebrew children. And we called them Hebrew children. They were grown folks. But they wouldn't bow down to this great image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. And said, if you don't do it, we're going to throw you into this fiery furnace. And whenever I look at their prayer, now here's a prayer that's being offered. And they said, well, our God is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. Proviso, the next verse. But if he does not. In other words, you say, well, they believed so strongly he would. That's why it happened. They did believe that he would. That's what they meant, that he would deliver them from that burning fiery furnace. But in case he does not, we're not going to bow down and worship that image anyway. We're not going to do that. So they still were looking at the will of God. They're looking at what God's will was. So we're not going to bow down just in case you do not do that. We're not going to bow down. So we find that they were cast into that burning fiery furnace. And when the king came down, expected them to be burned up, he says, I see four in there. There was three of them. I see four in there. And one of them looks like the Son of God. Well, he was right. God was with them. The Lord Jesus was with them. And that he shielded them from the fire. Not even their clothes had the burnt smell of the fire. They were saved from that. But we see the prayers that they were making. We know that our God is able. And so we come to the time that also that Daniel himself was going to be in the sixth chapter of Daniel, that Daniel himself got in trouble for praying. He was praying, but he got in trouble for it because they gave out a decree that you couldn't pray like that in public, and Daniel kept on doing it. So they're going to put Daniel in the lion's den. Well, you learn to say that correctly. They didn't just put him in a lion's den. They put him in a den of lions. There's a lot of difference. You can have a lion's den at any zoo around here, no lion in there. But they put him in a den of lions. And, of course, we know the story. We know that God shut the mouths of those lions, and they did not bother Daniel. And so we have to remember that we have all of these prayers that we, some of them are spur-of-the-moment prayers. Some of them are in distress. I saw on the internet where someone asked the question, how do you pray when you're in distress? Wow. Maybe the society in which we live in just, I don't know, seems like the people haven't got it all completely. That's, you can pray greatly when you're in distress. In fact, you ought to be praying when you're in distress. Well, here was a man that was in great distress, and he prayed, and God stopped the very mouths of those lions, and they did not take him. So we have prayer after prayer in the Scriptures. They're different. Some of them are instantly. Some of them could be thought about a long time. Maybe Jabez had time to consider and think about what he was asking for. Maybe Solomon did, because I'm a young man, and he had time to think about that. But some of these prayers comes up all of a sudden. And, of course, we have one in the Bible where a man named Jonah. Now, Jonah, he prayed a short prayer. We have no record of Jonah praying beforehand or after that. You say, well, he had to be. He was a preacher. Well, we don't have any record of it. That's what I said. I didn't say he didn't pray. But we have no record in the Bible of Jonah's prayers. But we have the record of one of Jonah's prayers. And sometimes people get the idea that I do certain things, and I'm like a clock now. I get up every morning, and you know, they tell me one of my granddaddies, he got up every morning and put his feet on the side, and he reached over and got his hat and put that on and got his pipe and lit his pipe before he ever got off of the side of the bed. He had certain things he does. Some people are so dedicated and certain in prayer, they got certain ways they do it. And sometimes people feel like people who's not doing it like that, they're just not praying. We have no record that Jonah had some type of prayer life that was, it was like clockwork. He had to do it a certain way. There's not anything wrong with that. I wholly agree that we could have a pattern in our life of praying and when we're going to pray, that we do it a lot of times. I remember my brother telling me one time, said, yeah, I said, every night when I go to bed, I pray to God, and I thank Him for what that day's been and what's been in my life and so forth and da, da, da. That's Linville, my brother, still living. He said, I thank God. He said, before I know it, I've gone off to sleep. Yeah, if you just start thanking God for the mercies He's extended to you for that day, if you start naming them, you'll be asleep after a while. So there's a lot of ways that people go to God in prayer. But as National Prayer Day, I hope every one of us remembers that we will pray in our hearts and our publicly or any way you want to do. But we do pray that the God of heaven will come according to, if it's according to thy will, that He will stop this in whatever method that He seems to be able to do. And so, if it's in accordance with thy will. So, I think that we, certainly our attitude, of prayer and Jonah's attitude, I've thought about it so much, in the belly of the whale. He was in the belly of the whale. He did not outline for God how he wanted this thing to work out. God, you grant this. Step one, step two, step three. He didn't lay it all out. He said, salvation is of the Lord. I remember thy holy temple. And he remembered the holy temple, said, salvation is of the Lord. So he prayed unto the Lord. He didn't say, Lord, I hope that fish will vomit me up. He didn't pray. He didn't know. And there's things in your life you do not know how it's going to work out. You just do not know. You can have the best laid plans. You know, I've had a lot of plans and they didn't work out like I thought. All of us have. I watch these people in these big companies, and they can be from Walmart to Bubop, whoever, everyone. They all got a big board of directors, and they got certain plans, and they doing things. And well, there's a lot of them scratching their heads today because they didn't anticipate certain things, and we understand that because we do not know. So we always just praying, Lord, with an humble heart, to be in thanksgiving, and then looking to the Lord to deliver us from the evil. That's what Jabez says, to deliver us from evil, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He wanted to be kept from the evils of life. And so as Jabez makes that prayer, now we have Jonah making this prayer from the belly of a fish. And I can tell you, that wasn't a long thought out prayer that he was going to, I'm going to, at about 6 o'clock today, well, he didn't know what time it was. He was in the belly of a fish. He didn't know if it was daylight or dark or anything else. But he remembered to pray to God, and he prayed to God, and God delivered him from the great thing in which he's in. So in the situation that we're in today, there was a president one time named Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was president of the United States. And it was before my time, but I suppose that he was a popular president, at least he was with some folks, because he died in office. And I remember my daddy telling about it. Daddy was building a fence the next morning, and one of the neighbor women came out there, and she was all to pieces. All to pieces. Mr. Stanley, Roosevelt's dead. What in the world are we going to do? People, they panic. Roosevelt was the one that said before that, he said the only, and I've changed that, the only fear we have is fear itself. It should be the greatest fear we have is fear itself. It's not the only fear, but we do have fears of the coronavirus, but fear itself can be one of our greatest enemies, because we can shut down the world as we almost have now because of fear itself. I do not know how to come out, but the president died, and Miss S.T. Tarver come out there, and Daddy's digging a fence post hole. And she said, oh, she was all to pieces. What are we going to do? The president's dead. And she's wallowed around there for a while talking about screaming. And Daddy told her, she said, what are we going to do? And Daddy said, well, I tell you, Mr. Tarver, I'm going to finish digging this post hole. And these are the whole nation that we live in today ought to finish digging the post hole. We got work to do and things to go and places to go. And we ought to be diligent. I appreciate everyone wanting that. That's why we got all these disinfectants out here on these tables. We want to be. We do not want to spread any viruses. But we got work to do. We got lives to live. And I believe that we can have this great fear, and it's got to where our newscast, even from the First Alert weather system or whatever system or whatever, everybody's got something. It's a fear that they want to drive the people. Fear, fear. If we can put enough fear in them, they'll do anything. And so now they've put enough fear in us that we're going to bankrupt or greatly hurt our economy. We're going to turn things bottom side up. That, in my opinion, was not necessary, and that's just my opinion. I think it's overreaction, and we call it overkill. It didn't have to happen. You didn't have to cancel all. I don't care if it's NCAA basketball or UIL, but it is important. If we could have went on just watching those and so forth and be diligent to do the things you want to do. But I'm telling you, they put a hurt on this economy. They put a hurt on everything because of their fear. And it's the fear that's killing us. And if we can get past the fear, keep digging your post holes, keep doing the things you need to do, be diligent not to be taken in by all those things. So if we, the greatest thing I think we have to fear is not the virus. The greatest thing we have to fear is fear itself. And you can tell that by all the empty shelves. You can't buy anything. You can't do this and so forth. Well, I don't have all the answers, but I know this. God does. He knows what's going on. I'm going to keep moving on down the line, praying to God, if it be His will, that I would be protected and my family would be protected or shielded from this. And I would just be devastated if they come to me and told me one of my kids or grandkids had this virus. I say devastated. I would really be concerned. But at the same time, I would believe and do believe that they would survive it. If you get it, if you get this virus, everyone in here, I'm looking for you to survive that virus. So we do not want to throw out the baby with the bathwater because of this virus. So it's the fear that they've been giving us. We have this prayer. He said, according to His will, that we pray this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Well, we take great comfort in that. And I know that you may come to me afterwards if you can get up close to me. I have to stay 5 feet away from you. But if you, well, I don't believe that. I believe we ought to be diligent too. I mean, Irish and I set up these tables around here for you to, to disinfect your hands. And I think that's good. I think we ought to. And we ought to, every one of us, be diligent. And we now not have to go to places. But to shut down the world and bankrupt the stores and the economy and everything else, I think, in my opinion, it's overkill. And they need to move on down the line and keep on digging their post holes.